a three-year-old boy, and the suspect was sentenced to 5 years in jail in 2013 on second-degree assault charges, but was released after 1 year in jail. What is going on?
Well, Senator Susio has been talking about this, and the senator is in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Senator, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dan and Brad.
Hey, I'll tell you, Senator, how long have we been talking about this thing?
Well, you know, early release, and this guy did get out early, courtesy of Governor Moy's notorious early release program. He had been in prison before for second-degree assault, and now he's out again, of course, and charged with assaulting this little three-year-old. And according to the arrest warrant, they discovered two lacerations to the three-year-old's liver, bruises to his chest and abdomen and both ears, and they had pictures of the criminal blowing cigarette smoke into the child's mouth.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is, and they let him out?
Yeah. It's stunning. It just shows you how the program, which is the excuse for releasing criminals early from our prison, is failing to rehabilitate anybody. And there's going to be, by the way, a hearing on Monday up at the state capitol by the Judiciary Committee on Monday the 20th, that's a week from Monday actually, on my proposed Senate Bill 428, which will eliminate rapists and killers from being eligible for early release in Connecticut prisons.
So let me get this straight. Right now, rapists and killers are eligible for early release?
Yes. Only first-degree aggravated sexual assault is not eligible, and sexual assault of a child under 13, I think. But other forms of sexual assault, rape, are eligible, and there's different degrees of murder, homicide, and manslaughter that are eligible for early release.
Senator Susio, we've talked about this till we're blue in the face. Let me ask you. Don't those leaders that we are calling our governor and the rest, don't they understand when something like this happens? I mean, this is what drives me crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hate to say it for that, but to me, the evidence is very clear. They're more concerned about cutting costs in our prison system rather than protecting our families from violent criminals. And, you know, they're bragging out there that the prison population is down. Well, it's down because of programs like this. They're letting people out early. They're not arresting people for crimes that they used to arrest them for. The sentences are plea bargained down in almost every case as well. No wonder why we've got a lower prison population than we've had in years. But at the same time, we're looking at terrible, tragic crimes like the one that appears to have been committed in this case. And innocents, the most innocent of all, children in our society are suffering from it. As well as women who have been sexually assaulted.
Now, you know, Senator, that the proponents of this early release program are going to say that, once again, you're using the exception rather than the rule.
What
do you say to that?
Well, we are going to announce, we're going to have a press conference on the day of the hearing, a week from Monday. We've obtained the data on the results of the program, and we looked at the first-year cohort of prisoners who were released. We discovered 82% of them had been readmitted to prison for resuming their life of crime.
82%?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, my God.
So if that's a proof of success of the program, well, I hate to see what they define as failure.
And what do you say to the parents of this three-year-old boy, the latest victim under this ridiculous early release program?
Well, you know, you don't know what to say anymore because you get tired of apologizing for the mistaken policies of the governor. And again, it's one thing when we're arguing taxes. It's another thing when we're talking about the safety of women and children. And that's really what's at stake here. It's the most fundamental right that we have, the right to be protected from the violent criminals that roam our society and would prey upon women and children. And we're failing to do that. So I have to challenge the governor to immediately suspend the early release law and order the legislature to conduct an inquiry and a review of its successes or failures. And by the way, there has been a law that was passed in 2015, which mandates that the Department of Correction is supposed to publish this information, but they're not doing it. They're breaking their own law.
State Senator Len Susio, our special guest, has been fighting this all along. You know, there's got to be somebody on this committee, there's a group that decides who's going to be released, that is easy on this. Who are some of those members?
Well, the commissioner, Scott Semple, he's engaged in some sort of reform of how the program is administered. And I do think he, from what I can see, has implemented some improvements. But there's still, it's impossible, Brad, when you're talking about thousands and thousands of criminals in our prison, it's very difficult for a few people to evaluate, just how safe it is to let some of these thugs loose out in the streets. They really should be going through psychiatric evaluations. And it's just sad to say, but most of them are just hardened, inveterate, and violent criminals. And it's difficult to extricate yourself from that. The failure rate for rehabilitating people like this is very, very high. It's much higher than the success rate. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to help and rehabilitate, but there's no way we should be letting people out early. We don't even have the resources now. And, Brad, with the budget cuts that are coming up, those resources, whatever resources we did have to rehabilitate criminals, are going to be diminished that much more, which means we're going to see a higher failure rate in the future because we don't have the resources to do what needs to be done.
Senator, I don't want to steal your thunder from your news conference a week from Monday, but again, because you know that Governor Malloy and Mike Lawler are going to be out there defending their program.
Mike Lawler's one of the ones.
Well, he's the big pursuer of this, too. But what you're saying is, because they'll say, well, he's cherry-picking the numbers, you're saying 82% of all of those who have been released on early parole have been put back in jail.
In the first year of the program, there were 8,989 discharges of prisoners released from our prisons, having received at least one early release credit, and 82.43% of them were readmitted to prison, having been discharged and resuming their life.
This is a failure. This is
of
an abject failure.
Shut it down.
And you're saying they're not publishing the statistics as they had promised to publish them.
PA 15-216 mandates the Department of Correction to publish a quarterly report which details the success or failure of the program. It's supposed to show that criminals are being rearrested and reincarcerated in the nature of the crimes they're committing. They are not doing it.
How did you get the information?
Freedom of Information Act. I asked the Department of Corrections to give it to me in the Freedom of Information Act, and I have the ability because of my business, I can go into these records and sort them and organize them and analyze them. And that's the way I've been able to do it.
Wow.
That is major.
This is a huge story.
It's huge. Now, I know that you want to talk quickly, and we've got about a minute and a half, about how you want to take this money that's earmarked for the mileage tax study and use it to save the restrooms along the state highways on I-91 and I-84 from closing. Talk about that.
Yes. Connecticut is the land of lots of taxes and lots of tolls, but no toilets. And what we've got to do is, there's a plan in the governor's budget to shut down the restroom facilities on 7 of our interstate highways. And I propose that we take the $300,000 that we have set aside for a study of the mileage tax, which every politician in our business, they don't want any part of, and take that $300,000 and put it back into the cost of keeping the restrooms open on our state highways and the 7 locations are planning on shutting it down. And by the way, Brad, I'm very pleased to tell you that we had talked about maybe taking that money earlier a few months ago and restoring the honor guards to the vets.
Yes.
But the governor has restored it in his budget, and the Veterans Affairs Committee passed unanimously a resolution to restore the funding. So it looks like we're going to get the honor guard restored.
You made my day.
All right.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Now we have to save the rest areas. Otherwise, I'm going to have to market my new idea, and that's the Connecticut Official P-Cup, Senator.
Seriously, we're going to have our names on it, the P-Cup.
I want to be the first to get one of those cups.
It's going to cost you 25 cents.
And the state's going to tax it.
Yeah.
Brad, you have to have a sense of humor or you will go crazy about this stuff. That's for sure.
Hey, thanks a million for being with us, and we'll talk again.
My pleasure, Brad and Dan. Take care. Have a great day.